You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Jets podcast, Friday, April 19th, 2019. This is your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. It is Good Friday. It is the first night of Passover, and April 19th is just a very good day on the calendar, I think. Today we're going to talk about the NFL draft, and specifically I'm going to talk about what I think goes through teams' minds when they're on the clock, because I frequently hear the discussion around a pick being whether it's about best player available or whether it's need, but I think there are a lot of different elements that go into a pick, and I think even when we talk about best player available or need, the categories go a little deeper than that. There are different elements to those categories. So that's what I'm going to spend today's show talking about, just kind of going through what I think the important considerations are for a team. And there's a lot, I think there's a lot more nuance than people typically put in. People usually, when their team makes a pick, it's either best player available or it's need. Sometimes it's both. You know, ideally, the biggest problem areas on your team line up with where the draft is strong. But I don't think that there's any pure... I'd be surprised if any team purely used either best player available or need. And I think that there are things that go into these picks beyond those elements. I think when you talk about best player available, and I think in general, it's better to try and find the best player than it is to focus on position. And that's once you get to round three and beyond... You should not even focus on position, because nobody on your team right now, nobody you draft in the third round is going to help your team right now. The odds are very much against it if you look through the history of the NFL draft. There are not many year one contributors who are drafted in the third round and beyond. If you get one of those guys, you know, you can certainly hope for it, and you're certainly there are a few lucky teams every year that find rookie contributors at that stage of the draft, but it's not very common. So you don't know what your needs change from year to year. You know, a guy you have counted on for years may all of a sudden get old. You may lose somebody in free agency. There may be a trade that's just too good to pass up on, and you trade somebody away. So you have to think long term. Which player is going to give me the best long term value, I think, when you get to third round and beyond? So I think in general, position should only come into play early in the draft, and even then it's only an element. You know, I think that there are a couple different things you have to consider when you talk best player available. Now, every team's going to tell you this was the top guy on our board. Every team claims that they take the best player available. And every year after the first round, you hear some team say, well, our board just fell perfectly. What else are they going to say? It's frequently not the case, but that's what teams say. The teams always claim that they got the best player on their board. But let's be honest, nobody's taking the best player. Nobody's purely focused on the best player available. I would skew more towards that than towards positions, but I think that, you know, let's give an example. Let's just say, I'm not saying this is the case. Let's say hypothetically, one of the quarterbacks this year, you know, Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, is the top rated. The Jets have them as a top three player. They're the top player available when the Jets pick at three. Jets are obviously not going to pick one of them because they have Sam Darnold. The player that they draft is not going to play much of a role. So that's, you know, that's a scenario where you can't. So that just shows you that nobody's drafting purely best player available. I think when you talk about best player available, though, there are kind of two different elements of it. Because are you talking about the guy who's the best player right now, or the guy you're projecting will be the best player in the future, the guy with the highest ceiling? I think that those are two different things. And I think either of them could kind of fit the best player available narrative. Now, if you're taking the guy who's the best player right now, maybe the most developed, the most technically refined, most, you know, a guy like that, there's a logic to that. And I think that how good you are right now certainly plays into it, because you're hoping every draft pick eventually turns into a better player. You're hoping every draft pick improves. I mean, if a guy does not get any better from the day he's drafted, then you know he's probably not going to be much of a player in this league. You want to see consistent improvements. That's, I think, something that's very important. But if you're looking for a guy to become a 10, well, is it more likely he's going to get to a 10 if he's already an 8 right now, or is it more likely if he's a 5 right now? It's much easier. You know, the guy who's an 8 right now, needs much less improvement to get where you need them to be. And it's always difficult to project how players are going to pan out. So the better the guy is right now, the higher the odds are he's going to be a player. I think that was one of the problems with the Hackenberg pick, is Hackenberg had to go so far to be a good quarterback in the NFL. He had to do so much improvement that it just seemed unlikely. Whereas a guy like a Sam Darnold, he doesn't have as far to go. He's very talented. So it's not as far of a... I think that's something that has to come into play. You have to talk about where the player is right now. But you also have to talk about the player's ceiling. And you know, that can be addressed in a number of different ways. I mean, a lot of it comes down to pure athleticism. Some of that comes out at the combine every year. Now, the stories of the workout warriors in the combine are famous, and the Jets have experienced some of them, like a Stephen Hill, a guy who did not produce much in college, who went to the combine, had a great combine, showed tremendous raw athleticism, and came to the NFL and still showed no football skills. Not only that, but showed that he was not as athletic in a football context as he was at the combine. You know, maybe a guy who's a tremendous athlete in a track and field kind of setting where you're in shorts and you're running sprints and you're doing high jumps, you're leaping as high as you can, you're doing the vertical leap. It's a little different when you have the pads on and you're confined in the football field. And Stephen Hill did not really have that. But I think athleticism is important. And there are other ways you can measure it. I mean, you can measure it to an extent based on game film. There are other ways you can measure it. And listen, athleticism or raw physical tools, maybe at the quarterback position, it's a big arm. Those are not things that necessarily guarantee you that you're a good player. But they're things that can really help you. Those are things that can help make you. Those are tools that can help make you a good player. So I think you'd have to look at that. I mean, I think a good example of this is you might look at the defensive tackle position in this year's draft. Who's the better player right now? I think you'd have to argue Quinnen Williams of the defensive tackles. But you can make a... I'm not saying that Ed Oliver has a higher upside, but you can make a case just because of his ridiculous athleticism. And if Ed Oliver gets to the right team, the right system, the right teacher, the right coaching, I think there's a case to be made that Ed Oliver could be a better player than Quinnen Williams. It would not shock me if Ed Oliver was a better player once he got to the NFL than Quinnen Williams, even though Quinnen Williams is better right now. And a lot of that's just based on Ed Oliver's ridiculous athleticism. So that's another thing. When you talk best player available, it's not so simple. Are you talking the best player right now or the guy you think is going to be the best player down the road? Because these things are both important. You'd prefer the guy to be pretty refined right now. But you also have to project for the future. How good can a guy be? What raw physical tools do I have to work with? Because if the guy puts it all together with the raw physical tools, he could be a heck of a player. We're here on the Locked On Jets podcast. Less than 1 week from the start of the 2019 NFL draft, things get overway in just 6 days. Jets will be on the clock. They currently own the third overall pick. And we're talking about some of the considerations today that I think go into making a draft pick. It's not as simple, I think, as the commonly laid out theme that it's either best player available or it's need. I think there are elements to both, and I think both are more complex than they are frequently portrayed. Now, I think when you're talking the first round, let's be honest, need comes into play here. I think that one of the considerations the Jets will have when they're on the clock with the third overall pick, if it's Quinnen Williams against either Nick Bosa or Josh Allen, is where's the team weaker right now? And I think that the answer would be the spot Bosa and Allen play, which is the edge. Now, they're different styles of edge rusher, but I think that's a little bit more of an issue right now than the interior defensive line, unless, of course, the team's ready to move on from Leonard Williams, which I'm not sure that they are. But so that alone might come into play, the Leonard Williams thing, because you might be projecting a future need. That might be one of the few situations where you can project a future need. It's not often you can do that. It's very difficult. We just talked in our last segment about how it's difficult to project your needs for the next year. But if you have a prominent player who's about to hit free agency, that's one of the few areas where you can project a future need. But I think that's something that has to come into play, especially when you're talking first round, top three pick. If you're talking a top three pick, a little bit easier to use need because you're expecting to get a day one contributor. Maybe not a day one superstar, but odds are higher you can get a day one contributor with the third pick than they would be with a pick later on. But You know, something else that comes into play is, let's say the Jets were about to move on from Leonard Williams. This is a hypothetical. I'm not saying that they are. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, the Jets were ready to move on from Leonard Williams, and suddenly interior defensive lineman becomes more of a need. So maybe that's a point for Quinnen Williams. But you also have to factor in the positional value and the positional value of your needs. You know, the Jets have some needs at some spots right now. But some positions are not created equally in the NFL. There are some positions that are more valuable than others. And that's proven by the way teams allocate their draft picks. There are certain positions where there are more players taken in the first round than others. And it's also validated by the salaries at each position. Not everybody who plays, the salaries are not equal across the league for players at the same position. So that's something else that comes into play, I think, that, you know, you talk about needs, but all needs are not equal. And I think that, you know, when you talk about needs, let's say hypothetically I had a gaping hole at inside linebacker and I had an edge situation, a bunch of edge rushers who were just okay, but not great. Even though my team would be, and this one really does not apply to the Jets because the Jets have some pretty good inside linebackers, but let's just say that situation plays itself out where I have I just have terrible linebackers and I just have okay edge guys, but I could use an upgrade, but I could live with what I have at edge. The bigger need still might be edge, because that's the position that really moves the needle in this league. That's one of the, for me, that's the premium defensive position. Linebacker, unless you're running, you know, the scheme the Carolina Panthers run, which they probably run because they have Luke Kuechly, a linebacker who can cover so much ground. Unless you're running like a very specific kind of scheme where you're asking your linebacker to do a ton, where you're asking him to cover a lot of ground, cover most of the field, to take some of the pressure off some of your other guys, linebacker is not that important of a position in this league. It's not valued as highly, and again, that shows itself out in the way teams allocate their resources. So that's something else that has to come into play. You know, you have to think about the value of positions. I think sometimes positional value can be overused, but I think it's something that you use to help make your decision. It's one tool at your disposal. I don't agree with people who say, there are some people out there who say, oh, you never draft a player at X position in the first round. Unless we're talking about like kicker or punter or long snapper or fullback or, you know, a position that's really just has no value. But I don't know that I really agree with that, because at the end of the day, if you draft a player at, you know, like a great, if you, there's a guy who's a great linebacker available, he can help your team. It's not a bad pick. But there are some positions that are more valuable than others. So if, you know, if your need is more pronounced at a less valuable position, you may still go with the, you still may pick a player at the more important position, even if the need doesn't seem as great on paper, just because some positions move the needle more than others in the NFL. Locked On Jets podcast. Less than 1 week out from the NFL draft today, here on this Friday edition of the show. It's our final Friday edition of the show before the draft. It's, you know, by this time next week, we'll be breaking down what the Jets did in the first round. And today I'm talking a little bit about what I think the thought process is for NFL teams. It's not just need versus best player available, I don't think. I think there are other things they factor into this. And I think that the discussion about need and best player available goes much deeper than people talk about it. You know, people just make it sound like it's one of two things, but it's a combination of things. And even within those two things, there are many different factors to consider. You know, one of the other things, we're talking a little bit about positional value. When you're looking to build strengths, I mean, you're looking to build strengths at the cornerstone positions in this league. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, you never draft a player at positions at like linebacker or running back, you know, the less valued position. I'm not saying you never draft a player. If you draft a great player there, it's not a bad pick. But there are certain positions where I think on the margins, you know, if you have a tiebreaker, if your two players are close, You might take a guy because one position is more important than the other. That might be something that's kind of breaks a tie, something to that extent. So, you know, again, which positions are you going to focus on? I think, you know, quarterback, obviously, offensive line, edge rusher, to a lesser extent, maybe wide receiver and corner. Those are the spots where I think you're looking to build your strengths. I think those are the spots you're looking to build your strengths. I think another thing that comes into it also is when you talk about positions, what position is the draft strong in? And I've talked about this a little bit at the wide receiver spot. Do you want to take DK Metcalf in the first round? And for the Jets, it would probably be only be in a trade down. Do you want to take a prospect who's, you know, a little risky, even if he's considered the best prospect of his class, in a very deep year at the position where you probably can get a guy in the third round who's maybe not as high of a ceiling, but a really solid prospect, and then address another position? That's another thing to consider. You know, that's something else you have to think about. And finally, you really need to think about scheme. And I think when we talk about schemes, it's one of the most misunderstood things in the NFL because the league has changed tremendously over the last decade or so. And I think a lot of people in the media have not caught up with it. You know, in the media, you'll hear some guy when the new offense is put in and they'll say it's a West Coast scheme or it's a Eric Coryell scheme or it's an Earhart Perkins scheme. And on the defensive side of the ball, you'll hear it's a 3-4, it's a 4. Those things don't really describe offensive and defensive schemes anymore in the NFL. On offense, teams are pretty much running the same plays, whether it's a quote-unquote West Coast system or it's a Coryell system. They're all running the same plays. You know, there was a day and time where those approaches were radically different, but when things work in the NFL schematically, other teams adopt them. So, you know, a West Coast coach saw decades ago some of the benefits of an Eric Coryell offense, so he adopted them. So now, I mean, most of these schemes are essentially the same, and when you're talking about the differences between a West Coast versus a Coryell versus an Earhart Perkins, those are the three that you always hear. It's really about more just the language, the terminology of the plays, because the teams are running essentially the same things. And on defense, you know, here 3-4 versus 4-3. Well, it's not really. I mean, most teams are running three-man and four-man defensive lines now. They run both. They have some plays with three-man lines. They have some plays with four-man lines. They'll have plays where their edge rushers are standing up, plays where their edge rushers have their hand in the ground. That stuff doesn't really describe the systems anymore that are running the NFL. So what you have to do is look more specifically. Is it an offense that likes to dink and dunk more? Then maybe you'd focus on a possession receiver versus an offense that likes to take deep shots. Then maybe you'd focus more on a deep threat at the receiver position. So that you have to consider your scheme, what it means for playing styles. You know, is your team more likely to run more zone blocking plays or more man blocking plays? I think we're past the days where teams are doing one exclusively or the other, but the types of linemen you want, the types of running backs will be different depending on which you'll favor more predominantly. On defense, are you playing more zone or more man? You know, there's a difference between the skills of zone corners who are more reading the play in front of them, good at reading the play in front of them, more exploding in a short area, or a man corner, a guy who just has to be able to athletically match up one-on-one against the other team's best player. Against the other, you know, or, you know, another player, a player that's your number one corner or a player or a receiver on the other team. So I think that these are all things that come into play. I don't think it's best player available versus need. I think it's both, and I think it's all these other things that factor in. So I think, you know, my main point today is don't get caught into the trap of thinking that it's always either best player, it's one or the other. It's both. And even within these, there's more nuance than you think, than people lay out. So that's just I just wanted to share that with you because that's something that's always bugged me. And you're my audience, so you get to listen to my thoughts. Hopefully they came through relatively coherently. That's all for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe and leave the show a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back again next week for Draft Week.